Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here, and welcome to Defining Duke Ultimate. This is episode 34 of a supplement to Defining Duke, an Xbox podcast. A little change up there in the intro. I'm, as always, joined by the Bright One, Lord Cognito.
Gentlemen, how are we doing? Maddie the Beast, and we have a legendary legal mind with us with a great topic, so I'm excited.
Yes, as you would say, the virtual one.
Yes.
Richard Hoag. Hoag, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm very pleased to be here. I love talking law.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk a lot of that here today. So there's this interesting story that's bubbled up over the last number of years, really, but especially in this last week, it's started to come to a head now. I thought this would be great for our Xbox show because it has to do with Bungie and has to do with Marty O'Donnell, who's most famous for his work on the Halo soundtrack. Now he's working over at Highwire on 6 Days of Fallujah, so it'll be interesting to see what he does for that. But for now, we're looking at the former Bungie composer who has been found in contempt of court over the use of Destiny assets. And of course, with all of this legal stuff, we needed to tap Hoag on the shoulder and say, hey, guide us to the promised land. Give the the listeners what they need. So thank you again, Hoag, for making this conversation possible.
Absolutely.
All right, so what we're going to do for this is a little bit different. Normally, we have our bullet points on a Google Doc. We do it ourselves. But I thought Eurogamer had a really good article that sort of timelines everything where we can read it verbatim, and then we can pause, discuss, and we're going to keep repeating that rhythm. So in all fairness, if you want to go ahead and support Eurogamer for a great article, go ahead, give them a click. Once again, it's titled Former Bungie Composer Marty O'Donnell Found in Contempt of Court Over Use of Destiny Assets. Shout out to them for having this all in order. Wanted to follow it. So let's get it started. Composer Marty O'Donnell has been found in contempt of court over his use of Destiny assets and now owes Bungie tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees, Eurogamer can reveal.
All right, let's pause.
All right, there we go. I said
I was told I could jump on you when I wanted, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say.
There it is. There it is, Hoag.
So one of the things that people wound up asking me a lot when this article hit was, my God, what is contempt of court? I see that in Law and Order episodes. Bailiffs come in. People are turtle marched out. What happened here? And like most things in the law, we've got a lot of terms of art because lawyers like to feel super special and important and hopefully that people can't understand what they're saying to each other. That's really how the practice of law works in a very important way. So contempt of court really just means the court told you something, you agreed to do something for the court, something along those lines, and now the court is finding that you didn't do that thing. And this, we'll find out in this article and elsewhere in the timeline, all relates back to an arbitration that Marty O'Donnell and Bungie entered into and was accepted by the court back in the 2014-2015 era, which, if you follow his career in Bungie's, is when the separation occurred. So before we get into the specifics, condemned to court means they agreed to something 6 years before this article, and now the court, on Bungie's request, is finding that Marty O'Donnell didn't do what he said he should have done.
There we go. So now we're all set up with the knowledge needed to dive deeper into this. So we're going to pick it back up, and Hoag will interject when need be. In April this year, Bungie served the celebrated composer behind the original Halo music with contempt of court papers over videos related to Destiny that were uploaded to O'Donnell's YouTube channel and other platforms.
So there you get Bungie is the one making the report, right? Mm-hmm. So there is, okay, we agreed to this thing in 2015, and now Bungie says, whoa, 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 you aren't following your deal. We're going to go back to the court and tell the court. We're going to tattle on you and say, you didn't do what you told the court you would do. That's the filing of contempt of court papers. And then the court evaluates that and says, Bungie, you're crazy. Or in this case, oh, no, yeah, this was... Before we get into the specifics again, this was not the world's hardest contempt of court finding for the court to arrive at. Whether or not...
I was going to say, it seemed pretty easy.
Yeah, whether or not you agree with Marty O'Donnell, even kind of emotionally, about what this means. And I think there are people that were in my comments. I did a video on this in Virtual Legality that came in and said, wow, you know, I feel for him because of what he's lost as part of this whole relationship breakup. I totally get that. But at the end of the day, kids, don't violate court orders. I don't like to give legal advice. This is an official legal advice, but general rule, don't violate court orders.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you'll see as we go along, he seems to be understandably upset, but so much so that he is going to cost himself a lot of money, it appears. I want to ask real quick, just out of curiosity, because he uploads his YouTube channel, other platforms like SoundCloud and stuff. Do their policies play a factor into this at all with like personal ownership, or is this just all because he violated something in court?
So this is all related to the original court order. Okay. When you start talking about how he violated that, and this is all going to come down to music that he either thought he had rights to or just is ignoring the fact that he doesn't. When he uploads them to a service, you might have been in virtual legality with me a little bit, or you just read through the terms and conditions because you're that kind of sadomasochist. But you went through the terms and conditions, you looked at those terms, and you found, well, I have to promise that I have the right to post this thing. Everything, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, wherever, SoundCloud, is going to have something that says, I agree that when I post user-generated content, or however they frame it in their terms and conditions, that it's not in violation of the law, which is the umbrella term, and almost certainly, more specifically, it doesn't infringe on the rights of another. So here we have a fight over who owns Music of the Spheres, which we're going to talk about in a second. But when you upload that to SoundCloud or YouTube or whatever, by its terms and conditions itself, you've promised to that platform that you own the rights necessary to do that. And then you get into all sorts of statutory reasons why Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Twitch don't get into trouble, because their users are crazy, because we can't have that, because there's a lot of crazy users out there. So that's what we're talking about here, is he is ordered by the court to know that he doesn't have the right to do this thing. He does it anyway. How he does it is kind of a side story to the actual act of violating the court's order.
Interesting. So it says some of these videos were early musical sketches of what became Music of the Spheres, the much loved musical foundation of 2014's Destiny. Cog, any history here for you?
Yeah, this is big for me. Obviously, I'm a huge Destiny fan. The community knows me for that. I've actually been like the champion of this game now, which initially I was a hater of it, but now I'm like, it's beloved. But look, Music of the Spheres is a big deal. I mean, this is almost sort of like a musical prequel for Destiny. And, you know, as far as his contributions, this is an iconic composer. And Destiny, as much as you put some people, it's not loved by some people. One thing that, the two things that you can always say about Destiny is gunplay and fantastic music. And also, this is a man who's also responsible for those great, you know, Gregorian chants. When you hear Halo, that title screen comes up, you feel it. Like, this is a big deal. So Music of the Spheres is something that a lot of people were able to get their hands on as Destiny fans, and a lot of this early kind of cutting room floor prequel Destiny music kind of stuff. And it's really beautiful stuff. It's really cool stuff. So yeah, definitely a big deal here.
Now, can I ask a question to you, Cog? Because maybe you know this. I don't know this. I had a number of people come in, and I don't understand where the delineation between Marty's music and another person's music comes in the original Destiny. Do you happen to know whether his work was incorporated at all into the original release?
His work was. It basically, it was a combination of himself, Mike Salvatore, and who's still with Bungie, and at the time of Destiny's release, Paul McCartney. So they all collaborated on that initial thing, and then obviously the legal stuff happened with Marty, and Mike stayed on in almost like a lead role, which Marty had. And the other gentleman who actually we've had on the Last Word podcast is Sky Lewin. And they have kind of continued. But what has happened is you'll find inserts of the original compositions, the original scores that they did kind of littered through Destiny, especially in the Cosmodrome era. Those early, for the new light players that come back to Destiny, they will get a lot. You'll get snippets of that. And sometimes in orbit, it'll randomly play. There is some algorithm, to the way Sky Lewin explained it to us, to some of the older music that'll randomly appear through the game. But yeah.
So it's in there, at least in part.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is this just the original Destiny? Is it Destiny 2?
It's in Destiny 2 as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. So, Cog, you sort of foreshadowed a little bit of what we're going to get into here, which was a first legal battle. So the article continues. The contempt of court claim relates to the terms of a prior lawsuit between Bungie and O'Donnell over his exit from the company, a lawsuit O'Donnell eventually won. Bungie said,
I'm not. He did win it. It was an arbitration, not a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter. They got into a dispute. There was a legal action. Somebody of a judge type quality looked at that. And what's really interesting about it for fans of corporate law, which I know your viewers and listeners must be, is that dispute got really, you see the word acrimonious, you see that referenced a lot in legal actions. It was really acrimonious. It was almost like a family court type divorce. And so you had both sides really flinging mud at each other. And one of the things that Bungie tried to do, which was, at least from afar, I'm not sitting there in these boardrooms, but from afar, was clearly out of bounds, was when they fired Marty, they tried to strip him of all his stock. And that's what really got the fight going. This is the, we're going to put everybody into the mattresses and we're just going to gun at each other. And they said, Marty, you lose your stock. And if you're familiar with contract law or corporate law, that's not how it works. You have to have a contract right of some kind to force the other side to forfeit or to have a buy-sell agreement where you have the right to buy it from them. All these various different ways that companies protect themselves when there's an acrimonious situation. What the arbitrator found back then was Bungie went way too far and essentially restored all of Marty's rights. But the arbitrator also found that Bungie was correct, that what he had made for them with the music that they had paid him for, both in stock and dollars, was Bungie's. And my video on my channel is really focusing on the question of how work made for hire works, which we can get into or not at your discretion. But that notion is that when an employer pays you for something, in most contexts, that's going to be the employer's when it's made. And that includes music compositions. That includes the assets that are the concept art. That's how Bungie can sell a concept art book. And the artists don't necessarily make anything from it directly. It's all the companies. And that's important from a company organizational standpoint insofar as if you're aggregating all these assets into some combined audiovisual work, you need to make sure you have all the intellectual property owned by the entity and not 6,000 different owners. But the whole concept rubs a number of folks the wrong way. And one of the folks that it rubs the wrong way are very creative people. And you can understand why. It's that you make this thing, you pour your heart and soul into it. It's not easy to make a, whatever it is, a 90-minute musical composition exploring humanity's position in the stars or whatever he describes it as. And you understand that's a heart and soul kind of endeavor, but you did it for stock, you did it for dollars, and now Bungie with Activision, who I think, based on everything that's been reported, Marty kind of viewed as the evil empire when that relationship started, had thrown him under the bus, and now he wants to make them hurt, like he's like they're making him hurt. The problem he's got is that once he's paid for that, his agreements appear to say, that's Bungie's. That's how I would organize it if I was on Bungie's side. That's not a surprise. But clearly, Mr. O'Donnell didn't much care for that. So that arbitration back in 2015 has two parts. He wins the big part. Bungie tried to strip him of his stock, which is worth a lot. And Marty rightly said, Bungie doesn't have that right. Arbitrator says, yeah, you know how to write a forfeit provision. You didn't do that. So it doesn't matter that you're now unhappy that he's on your board or he has stock. You didn't contract for it around
effectively,
that.
Effectively, they tried to just, they weren't happy with him and tried to get rid of him.
Tried to get rid of him just extra legally is the term we would usually use, which is we're going to strip you and then you can sue us. And he did. I mean, the arbitration starts, I believe it's the month that he's fired. It's not like he sat on it. Bungie took drastic steps against him. He returned volley. And then what winds up coming out of that arbitration, if you go look at the articles from 2014 and 2015, is you get your stock back or value. It's unclear whether he took cash or the stock at the end of the day. And then you have to agree that you were terminated. And as part of that termination, you return or destroy, depending on what Bungie wants done, all of the confidential information of the company, which early musical sketches of what became Music of the Spheres is their stuff if you're doing it under a services agreement with them. And that's where there seems to be some disputes, and he doesn't like that it doesn't get released, and it becomes this big thing. But the court order itself, which is what got him his stock back, also said, you acknowledge that you've returned and or destroyed everything related to Music of the Spheres back to Bungie.
So it was almost a situation of him holding on a little too tightly to his work after the fact, right?
And you don't have to blame him for it, right? He poured his heart and soul into it. He's a creative guy. Legal is different from personhood to me. It's like, I can tell you how this is really stupid legally while still understanding exactly how a creative mind got there.
Sure.
Yeah. And just for all the context and how contentious this was, he recently did like an interview with a YouTuber, and I think for the first time kind of speaking on it, and one person kind of asked him, like, you know, what was that whole deal like, you know, with Activision coming in? And he was very upset about it. From my understanding, he had a very prominent role on the board, and he did not like the decision of them coming in. And, you know, this is fresh off of them obviously leaving Microsoft. And we actually found out at that time that there was a chance Bungie was going to go back to Microsoft, you know, that they were going to kind of reconcile and get a better deal. Their whole thing was like ownership and, you know, because they had poured their heart and soul out with Halo, and they just wanted that those rights. So the Activision came in, and from my understanding, you know, I guess he looked over it. He saw a lot of things that he viewed as red flags. He was very vocal about it. At that point, the deal was already done. And then it's like Hulk explained, which like, you know, a bitter family member going through this dispute, and it got nasty. It was a lot of mudslinging, and like you said, there's the human side, and obviously what Hulk is saying, you know, the business side of what he agreed to. But from my understanding, like Hulk said, Bungie overextended with trying to really rip him out of this situation, and then he able to get his rights back and that stuff. So it's very, very interesting from a Destiny fan perspective, charting this stuff.
There's no question from the history that I was able to find from reports from that time that Bungie went way too far.
Yeah.
That there was no backing for what they did to him. And I certainly understand animosity coming from that, which is, yeah, I can sue you and I can win. That is not a mentally friendly process. I mean, it's a year and a half between when they try to strip his stock and when he finally gets that arbitrator award. And in that entire time, you're getting thrown lawyers at you. You're going through this whole process. And Bungie never had the right, as best I can tell, to do any of that. They were just trying to cause pain. So I get the anger. That doesn't mean you can do what you do, as we're seeing now in 2021.
Right. And that's really well put, the idea of the separation between the emotions and, I guess, the legal reality, if you will, for Bungie and their team. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. We got Bungie said O'Donnell, who was Bungie's veteran audio director until he was fired in April 2014, was ordered to return all material related to Music of the Spheres and Destiny and was blocked from sharing or performing it as part of the 2015 injunction. Bungie said all material includes not just Music of the Spheres in their final state, but all versions, components, and variations of the track. That is all material involved in any way the creation of Music of the Spheres and Destiny. So that would incorporate even like a remix of his own, like afterwards, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And you could start getting into the ways that you license remixes or fair use or licenses of music in general. Music and IP is where legal arguments go to die. It's the most complicated stuff on earth. But yeah, when you've got, again, if you're thinking about it as a consulting agreement, service agreement, employment agreement, whatever it is, you're going to say, you make this stuff for us, and the information or deliverables or documentation or whatever you define it as that is ours is not just the final stuff. It's everything that's work in process. We paid you to work on this thing for however long it took you, and it's everything that's a part and parcel to that. And again, that can feel pretty bad to creative folks, but it's pretty necessary in terms of running a business, because you don't know exactly what you need and what you don't need until everything's finalized. And you don't want to be competing with the person that you paid for this stuff immediately after that relationship ends.
Right. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2019, when O'Donnell began uploading videos and other materials relating to Music of the Spheres and Destiny to his YouTube channel, as well as Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Quote, Mr. O'Donnell's very possession of such materials proves he did not comply with the order to return all material to Bungie, end quote. Bungie's motion, reviewed by Eurogamer, reads. Do we want to pause there?
Yeah, I mean, this is why I said it's not the world's most difficult contempt of court order. Now, technically speaking, if you just want to start dancing on legal arguments, the fact that he came into possession of his own music in 2019 doesn't necessarily mean he kept it from 2014. Could have gone around the horn through other people that had data mined it and those kinds of things. Doesn't actually save him from this particular argument, because it returning to his possession is still going to be a problem for not performing it. Putting it on YouTube and SoundCloud or wherever is still going to be a performance for purposes of intellectual property law. And you saw in that injunction, the notion that he can't perform it isn't designed to just whap him on the head with a stick. It's not designed to just punish him. It's that the copyright holder, which is found to be Bungie, has the exclusive rights under the law to control reproduction, distribution, performance, display, et cetera, et cetera. So when we get to this position in 2019, he knows he agreed that he returned everything. He knows he agreed that it's not his to perform, and he puts them on YouTube and Bandcamp and wherever else. And isn't his first rodeo. You know, if you're a 16-year-old and this is the first time anybody's ever used your music, you might be able to get away with, oh, I didn't know. This is the composer of Halo. As a matter of fact, as Lord Cognito here just pointed out, Bungie itself is an excellent mirror for the loss of intellectual property. They don't make Halo anymore. Why? Because they made it for Microsoft. And Microsoft has those rights. You don't see Bungie putting Halo content on their Bandcamp. And it's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very well put. I have a question about this next one.
Okay.
Bungie also noted O'Donnell posted tracks and an album titled Sketches for MOTS, Music of the Sphere, to Bandcamp, where users were able to pay him a fee if they wanted to. Now, if they wanted to, I'm not familiar with Bandcamp, and I imagine it's like a little bit more donation-based. Does that play a factor into any of this because he was making money on it versus if he was uploading for free? Or is it just because he did not, of course, this is all about the contempt in court. He did not obey the court's order, but this doesn't add anything on top because he could have earned money through work that he was not legally allowed to publish.
What it's going to add is what we're going to see is that the court order now in 2021 is going to say you have to give you the profits over. Those aren't your profits to have. So money collected with the intellectual property of another, especially in an ongoing court dispute. It might not feel like it's ongoing since it stopped in 2015, but this is essentially one big snake of a case now at this point, is that's the only thing that happens. The other time you really see arguments of when does pay matter is whether or not something is fair use. But this isn't a fair use question. He has a contractual obligation to not use any of this stuff. So it's really outside of that. And a lot of that was born, again, if you look at those earlier articles, from the fact that he was performing the content in various places when Bungie didn't give him permission. And he was doing these things where he was treating it as his own. And that's what got kind of the really strong language in the injunction itself. So he knows that didn't change 4 years later. The fact that he collected money doesn't really make it worse because it's already as bad as it can be.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Bungie argued all this activity amounted to a contempt of court and a violation of the 2015 injunction, as we had just discussed. The court agreed, and on the 12th of July, Judge Regina Cahan of the Superior Court of Washington's King County ruled in Bungie's favor, quote, Mr. O'Donnell intentionally disobeyed and is hereby held in contempt of the September 17, 2015 order confirming and enforcing final arbitration award, the order entered in this matter.
Legalese, right? You gotta love that sentence.
Yeah, I as you could tell, I was really like trying to get through because I was like, this is not flowing,
so,
right?
So you, that parenthetical where it says the quote-unquote order is just establishing the long legal description of that 2015 final arbitrating award.
Gotcha.
So it's just saying Mr. O'Donnell disobeyed what we said in 2015.
Gotcha.
Now the article continues. A representative of Bungie said the company is unable to comment on ongoing litigation, but pointed to the court's ruling above. O'Donnell declined to comment when contacted by Eurogamer. I think this is where, for those who are like me and maybe not legally intelligent, if you will, it starts to pick up a little bit because you start to see the aftermath of what's happening now from this case that's really stretched out and seems to have been emotionally damaging.
You don't want a contempt order filed, a contempt of court order filed against you. The court doesn't like that, and they get meaner.
The court has now imposed upon O'Donnell's a number of sanctions, including a third-party forensic examination of his electronic devices in order to delete any assets relating to Destiny or Music of the Sphere. So they're going to take, just to make sure I'm properly understanding this, they're going to take like his computer, his phone, everything, comb it, make sure that nothing is there from Destiny.
Right. So what happens here is Bungie files a contempt to court order or request to the court and says, look, this guy can't be trusted. Where did this stuff come from? And he must have it on his devices in some fashion. So court, he's defied your orders.
But could that lead to something else that they find out where he got it from? Or is that just, that's non-consequential at this point?
I'm not sure Bungie cares about Music of the Spheres that much. I don't know.
Who knows?
But this is more about, a board member, a valued founder, in their perspective, going off the deep end, causing them trouble, and now them deciding to make an example of him and going and getting what the court will be willing to give, which is, yeah, we're finding him in contempt. We're finding him no longer trustworthy. So we can't just take his word on signing that he destroyed everything. Now we got to go check it ourselves. How invasive will they actually do this in reality? I don't know. It's Bungie going and getting court powers. Yeah, but I think people read this section and say, wow, this is a whole panoply of really bad things that they would impose on their former friend. And yeah, this is what it looks like when you are found by the court to have defied the court's instruction.
I think this next little bit here is what makes it all the more interesting. Is like, oh, we're gonna for a, I don't think it's a bad thing, but for a creative, it's probably shaming him a little bit.
I feel so, especially the next one.
Yes. O'Donnell must also remove all the relevant material from the internet, which he has already done. If you're wondering where all his content from his YouTube channel went, O'Donnell, here we go, must also write to any third party he is aware of who posted the material to ask them to remove it. O'Donnell is ordered to post a message, the wording of which the parties agreed to on his Twitter, YouTube, Bandcamp, and SoundCloud sites/channels, stating that he did not have legal authority to possess or provide material related to Music of the Spheres or Destiny, and asking anyone who previously downloaded any such assets to delete them and refrain from sharing and will destroy any copies of them, end quote. Quote, Mr. O'Donnell will refrain from making any direct or indirect public comment regarding these posts, including responses to those inquiring regarding basis for such posts, and will let the message speak for itself, end quote. The court order reads, which O'Donnell has not done so far.
Actually,
yep, I had a couple of comments on this.
Yeah, I think he did some form of a statement.
Oh, I checked his Twitter just
because you won't find it there.
You won't find it there.
He deleted it.
I'll let you go. Yeah, he deleted
it. No, as best I can tell, because I was looking at this when I was prepping my own video, and I got a couple of comments on it. I almost did a video, I don't even know, a couple of weeks ago, when I just noted on my little sheet, Marty O'Donnell's acting weird, because there was just a tweet of a picture of like something like that note and then it was gone, like I think within 24 hours. So one of the things you find out happening here is, okay, he might have tried to comply in like the most tantrum oriented way one can comply with a court order, which is the design of this is to make it effective. Yeah, there's some shame involved, and the shame involved is primarily because anybody in 2021 in the digital era knows that you're not going to pull all the information back. That the purpose of this is not to go and try to actually make sure everything is destroyed or deleted or restored to Bungie, because it's not going to happen. It's designed to say Marty isn't a part of this and he has to post this message. But by putting it up for like a half second and then immediately deleting it, it's almost to me, I almost look at it and feel like, well, you're really poking Bungie. You're trying to see whether Bungie's going to come back with a second request that says he's not complying still, court. And Bungie probably won't. I mean, you're just betting on people's dispositions here, right? But it's clear that Marty, throughout all of this, has been, bare minimum, trying to skirt the line, if not just completely not caring about where the line is at all. And I think that what happened here with this message that I only saw on Twitter, I don't go to these other places for the most part, and I didn't follow him on YouTube, is not following the spirit of the court's order, and you already have a court that is upset. So we're going down a road which is not great, but might not result in anything further.
So he's okay. So he did actually end up posting this type of message, but he deleted it.
I can't find it. But yes, I remember seeing it, and other people mentioned it.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I'll jump in too, because this is, again, the intensity of how contentious this thing is because he, on his YouTube channel, everyone was saying the same thing, like he's been acting weird. And, you know, we saw a little bit of statement there, but there was a video of him kind of curting the line with a similar statement, I guess, that he is supposed to make, stating, you know, if you have any copies of Music of the Spheres based on, I guess, if you got it from my channel or what have you, you know, please delete them. And his energy was very different. It did feel, I could send it to you guys because someone clipped it before it was deleted. Yeah, I can send it to you guys. And basically what has happened is you can tell he's reading a statement. You can see the way his eyes are moving. And then there was another comment, I believe, on his page where he took a shot at Pete Parsons. Pete Parsons' name, it's like, people are like, hey, Marty, what's going on? Why are you acting so weird? Like, that was pretty much the gist of the comments. And then it was, you know, Pete Parsons' name, who is the CEO currently of Bungie. And yeah, this thing is still, he's still fighting. It feels as if, you know, he is still not complying all the way within the spirit, and to Hulk's point, poking it a little bit. So yeah, it's very interesting. But since then, all this stuff has been deleted from his channel and his Twitter.
Yeah, there are a couple other deleted tweets that we're going to highlight from this article that I think are definitely worth discussing. But that's really good context, and I'm glad you're both here to pick up on it. Because when I looked, I was like, let's see if he said anything. I was checking all his other platforms, and I couldn't find anything. And so
it was like in the middle of the night. I mean, like, the note that I had taken from the Twitter was, I was looking at it at midnight for some reason. Not healthy. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, that's odd. Potential video. And then it was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. That's happened before. It's just like the source of a video is just gone. Bye. Mm. All right, let's continue on. O'Donnell must pay Bungie all money of any kind he received from the sale of related materials uploaded to Bandcamp.
Right, we talked about that.
O'Donnell is ordered to pay Bungie's reasonable costs associated with the contempt proceedings, including attorney fees, as well as fees associated with third-party examination of his electronic devices. These fees are currently in dispute with O'Donnell representatives, arguing the near $100,000 Bungie is called for unreasonable.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so that's, you saw this headline go out, $100,000. You know, headlines, they love numbers. So you saw court orders, $100,000. That's not quite what's happening. Reasonable costs, totally normal. Bungie having to go back into court to enforce what the court had already ordered in 2015. Totally normal for them to get attorney's fees. And then they're fighting over it, right? Because Bungie says, well, you know, looking through all your laptops is $60,000. That's the cheapest third party we could find. And our lawyers say they spent $45,000 filing this probably relatively short document with the court explaining that there's been a contempt charge. And then O'Donnell says, $100,000? Are you kidding me? And where that comes out is going to be up to the court. But again, the pose of an action like this is the court already doesn't like you. The court is already inclined to listen more to Bungie on this stuff. So where that number winds up is anybody's guess. Probably the attorneys will have to show their work in terms of what their billable hours were, and Bungie will have to show exactly what the third-party examination is. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's high five figures, bare minimum.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
Because when you see a number like that,
if you drag lawyers into court, it's going to be if you force somebody, especially like Bungie, that's going to have a real law firm, real expensive lawyers on their side, to go and fight something in court, you're not going to come in under 35. So you go from there.
Yeah, it's wild to look at, because you almost would think that had to do with his distribution of the music and the money made from that, but it seems to be more of the fees that Bungie
it's
had
always
to pay
the lawyers.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's interesting. That's knowledge to me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
O'Donnell's dispute with Bungie has remained quiet until now, although fans had suspected something was up with after his YouTube channel was scrubbed of Destiny-related videos and he deleted his Twitter account. The Twitter account was later restored on June 3rd in a now-deleted tweet with O'Donnell saying, and I do remember seeing this one, quote, yep, "I'm thinking about retiring from the games industry for good," end quote. O'Donnell then signaled in another deleted tweet that he may be forced to shut down his YouTube channel. When asked why, O'Donnell replied, "Ask Pete Parsons, who is the CEO of Bungie," as Cog said. That tweet was also later deleted. Then on June 4th, O'Donnell tweeted to ask his followers to consider buying the soundtrack to Gollum, the 2019 PlayStation VR game he worked on at his new studio, Highwire Games. "The money will help my huge legal bills," he said. "Thank you." This tweet remains online, and now they are currently working on 6 Days of Fallujah. Sorry, continue.
No, not at all. It's worth a pause here, because I like this Hero Gamer article. I also like the timeline that they did, which they link in this article to earlier, but the timeline gets a bit confused here. So if you go back up, you'll note that the court actually makes its determination of contempt on July 12th. And that's when he gets ordered to do all the various things. Then by kind of taking the history and talking about his account and his deletions and the scrubbing from early June, I think confuses cause and effect a little bit. You have Marty clearly in the background fighting with Bungie at the time, right? So like he's putting stuff up in 2019. He's putting stuff up, I think, in 2020. Bungie's clearly like upset, saying, what, my guess, speculation, of course, take it down. What are you doing? You've got the order in 2015. We don't want to file a contempt of court against you. This is all bad. This isn't a great look for anybody. And so June rolls around and he's frustrated and he gets rid of his Twitter account for a half second. This is all, I believe, before he does those deleted tweets that we were talking about, because the court order hasn't come down yet. And then he's starting to act weird again, including that Ask Pete Parsons stuff, which is not wrong under the court order because of the date timeline. Right. You might look at this article and say, well, he's not allowed to speak. I believe it's directly or indirectly about anything that's happening right now. And he does that, but he does that before the court order. So just to clear things up a little bit, because I tripped on this a little when I was originally kind of trying to put the timeline together, is this stuff is good context. It's not bad. I don't have any problem with it. But it's from before the contempt of court order actually is filed. So it's more of a piece of, this is a summer of frustration, probably on both sides, that culminates in having court papers filed and an order on the 12th of July.
I get what you're saying now. Because they didn't really put the... Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Now, that's the end of the article, and I guess it's time to just sift it all through a little bit more. Cog, how are you feeling about everything that's transpired here between Marty, Bungie, the legal disputes? Who do you think's right or wrong? Well, that may be a bit of an obvious answer. Right. Still want to dig into your thoughts a little bit. How are you feeling?
Yeah, this is troubling. I hate when family fights. It's just family. You know, I know these guys. You know, I've been fortunate to cross paths with a bunch of them. And, you know, from an inside baseball standpoint, without naming names, the vibe I get is that, you know, there was a bad breakup. You know, Marty, from the Bungie side, there's still a lot of love there. And from my understanding, you know, I was told, you know, take it away as you will, they didn't want to do this. This was not the plan to hurt and, you know, really go after him in this way. The vibe I'm hearing, it's more someone is habitually line stepping and pushing the envelope, right? And then, so I understand that part. And then there's the second part where I struggle with, which is obviously, you know, the way he was handled initially, right? During the whole Activision, you know, deal and them, Bungie working with them at the time. And, you know, as Hoag eloquently put out, you know, how they really overextended to remove him and not have him in the room. He was a very, from my understanding, he's a very vocal person in that room, you know, and he was animate against the Activision, almost to the point where, hey, like, guys, did you read the fine print about what's going on here and what they're doing? They're overstepping, right? And this is not right. So he's very big about ownership. He's very a passionate guy. So I get both sides, and it's just unfortunate that, like, it still had to come to this. And, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, what's right is right. If, you know, he's in contempt, we can't sugarcoat it. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you knew, he's a very bright guy. He knew he's not supposed to have these assets. These are not supposed to be on his site. None of this stuff. And it's only a matter of time. If you keep poking or you keep showing your disgruntledness, then they're going to come after you. And that's why I look at it right now. So overall, yes, he's in the wrong. He's going to have to deal with it. And I'm very curious now, because I believe it was the 6 Days of Fallujah is the next game he's working on. Obviously, he put out the statement, you know, about the legal bills and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just a sad tale. It's just like, damn, man, mom and dad fighting again. You thought it was over. You know, it's just, man, that's how I feel about it. But for me, it's very passionate, and I'm glad we're talking about it, because out of all of this, I just feel like Destiny has some of the best music I have heard in gaming, and he is responsible for that. He's a huge player in that space. So I'm just curious with Hoag, because I know Hoag, I was following you with this, and I was dying when I saw the news. I said, oh man, I gotta speak to Hoag. We gotta get him in here on Ultimate. But I'm curious, you know, on both sides, obviously the legal side and then the human side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the really interesting parts about this story is that Marty O'Donnell is not nobody. And that's not to put down other composers. I think video games honestly get some of the best composed music in the world. But Marty O'Donnell is even a step above that. I mean, Halo as a product, I think, owes a good percentage of its success to that theme, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And bringing that over to Destiny, that something higher, something more operatic, something deeper than the traditional action game music, brought something special to Destiny, even when it maybe didn't have that much special going for it when it was actually initially released. I like Destiny, Cog. I don't want to have that fight because I do like Destiny too. But there's no question that on initial release, it wasn't what a lot of people thought it even could have been. And now we're finding what it could have been. It was really far away from what Bungie's capable of doing. And playing that game, the music was part of that. Now, I think one part of the story that's also a little bit lost is if you see the references and you look at 2014, 2015, Marty O'Donnell's not just the composer. He's the audio director of Destiny. He's doing the voice work. He's Dinklebot's guy. I mean, he's doing all that for the original Destiny release. And so I think what happened there, which you can go read these stories as well, which is the story gets completely stripped out. There's acrimonious divorces all over the place at Bungie in 2014, is that he's then asked to do an 80% retooling of the voice work at the same time as doing the new composition and everything else. In a world where he thought Bungie had stripped itself of its corporate masters, had gotten free, and now has a new set coming in to tell them what to do. So I think you can build the story where you can understand and empathize exactly with how this felt as it happened. And still, the end result is exactly what you say. Nobody likes it when family fights. I would much prefer it, honestly, if these guys were great. And even if he's working at a different company, he could still parachute in to do some Destiny music from time to time. And everybody's happy with each other. Exactly. It would be wonderful for gamers. That not being the case, you look at a 2015 order that says you're not going to do anything with this stuff. When you do stuff with that stuff, it doesn't take even me on this channel or a lawyer at all to say, that's not going to go well for you.
Yeah. I think the real test is when I knew.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Like when I read one article, it wasn't like a, I think I need to ask Hoag. I was like, okay, I think I see what he did wrong here.
Right. Yeah. Well, by the time you get to the court order, it's obvious enough. I think you can have the discussion about work made for hire and what he knew. The problem people have defending him on this stuff is he's a sophisticated party. He knows how intellectual property licensing works. Mm-hmm. And it's not unusual for a company to go and say, we need that stuff. And a person of Marty's capability and stature probably could have asked for performance rights and other things that could have been negotiated at the time. He didn't do that because, first of all, he had a working relationship with Bungie, right? He'd been working with them for a long time. And you know, one of the things I tell clients, and I have the conversation with startups and very excited people, is everything's great as long as everything's great. One thing you have to try to concept out when you're looking at your contracts or your relationships is what happens if it's not. And the usual way I get people to that level is I say, well, pretend it's not your friend that's negotiating with you in a year. Mm-hmm. Pretend they got hit by a bus and their wife that you hate is now controlling the contract, or their husband or whomever. Mm-hmm. But somebody that you didn't know that isn't your friend is now looking at and saying, well, I see in these terms, here's how I can screw you over. And have that thought process and conversation and work through it, because that's how you got to think about these things. And Marty knew that. Marty was probably represented, and he knew what he was doing, which is how you get 2015. They say it's Bungie's info. It's Bungie's documentation. Absolutely. And then in 2019, you just say, screw it. I'm putting it on YouTube. And this is the kind of natural result. And I have no doubt, really, that this doesn't look great for Bungie, because there's going to be people that side with Marty, and Bungie probably didn't want to file these documents and is probably phone calling him and emailing saying, take that shit down.
Do you think that was something, obviously this is where we get a little more speculative, but
it's all something that
occurred prior to this next legal step where they went, you know, hey Marty, what's going on, man? Do you think they probably initiated that kind of conversation first?
That's what I heard.
Nobody files legal documents as a first go. If you can get him to take it down and he's okay, then that's fine. If he does it three times, maybe you file the legal documents then. But yeah, absolutely. Your first step, in fact, in any story you read about a legal action, assume that there's weeks, if not months, of communications trying to not pay the lawyers.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah,
That's what I think what's unfortunate, too, is, like I said, because the initial cause of a lot of the split was the Activision factor. And the fact that the thing that's sad about it is that the fact that Bungie is free from Activision. Right. So you as a Destiny fan, the hope was these parties could finally get to the table, just be amicable, be respectful to each other, and move forward. So to see this still going on without that, and then I remember he was asked specifically, how do you feel about Bungie on their own as a indie studio, so to speak? And he was just like, oh, you know, I was hoping they got bought because I have stock by them and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, okay, I see where you're at with it. You know, like he, it's still there. It's still that, you know, and I'm like, wow, I would thought at by this stage. But again, I get it. As a creative, you know, you, like Bungie, you know, like a Hulk said, like you put your heart and soul into something, you know, you're then told, you know, that obviously that you don't have, they have ownership of it. And it's something that is still near and dear. I mean, it's still something beloved. The question I had to ask, though, I forgot, was specifically with contract to hire, right? And we, you know, we talked about these ownership ramifications and working almost like that in that type of setup. So generally, these things are set up in place by the company. But my question is, can't, like, say, for example, at that time, was there any steps that Marty could have done to say, hey, I don't necessarily agree with this, and can this be negotiated and restructured so that he could potentially have ownership of a Music of the Spear or something? I'm just curious if it's like you have to take it or leave it kind of a deal.
So I'll tell you what I tell everybody on contracts. You can negotiate, for the most part in the United States, with some exceptions, anything you want. So Bungie's form of contractor agreement is going to be, we pay for it, we own it. And it's not going to change the ownership. Bungie's always going to own it. That's never going to stop. But like any copyright, you can have certain licensed rights out to it. So I have seen documents that say, I'm going to make something for you, your video game, your album, whatever it is. And you're going to own it because you paid me for it. You bought something. That's an important part of this, because I got people in my comments talking about thievery and things like that. He's like, he agreed to get a certain amount of money to make this thing. And so you got paid for it. But as part of that contract negotiation, you could say, look, here's what I want. It's yours. You own it. But you're going to give me a non-exclusive, perpetual, irrevocable, all the fun legal words, right, to perform it. I'm not going to be able to make money off of it, maybe, but I can put it on my YouTube. Gotcha. I can perform it at cocktail parties, whatever it is I'm doing with it, because it's important to me. And I, because I've been working in creative fields and with software and video games a lot, have a number of contracts I've worked with that have what I would consider fairly novel provisions that are about, you know, groups of people working together, and maybe one person has one specific idea that would otherwise be gobbled up into a joint project. They want to make very sure that that doesn't happen. And so we get language in there that talks about how they're going to relate to it, and it's going to be theirs, and the company's going to be able to make money off of it, but X, Y, or Z are things that they can do with it. They're going to be able to, I don't know, make t-shirts with the character that they drew, even if that character is going into a video game, and whatever else is important to them. Like I said, I think the strange situation here is that Marty had already been involved in I don't even know how many contracts with Bungie already. And so you're not necessarily on full alert as you might be with a stranger. And then when it all goes the wrong way, you're like, well, okay, that's fine, Bungie, but I need that music for X, Y, and Z. And they're like, no. that's not yours. And especially when at the time of the action, they view you as a hostile figure, right? 2013 comes around and he's causing trouble for the Activision relationship. And then he's showing up at board meetings and saying, Activision can't do this with our creative process. And at some point, the CEO and the COO and the board of directors are like, oh my God, we've got a wild card in the room and it's causing trouble for our business. And that doesn't make him wrong. It doesn't really make Bungie wrong. The wrongness starts coming when they start taking swings at each other. But yeah, I look at it and say, well, it could have been done better. In retrospect, I have no doubt he would have negotiated for more rights in that initial license or employment arrangement, whatever it would have been. But he didn't do that. And after the fact is not the time when you can usually swing that. No, Bungie could have been nicer. Bungie could have not stripped him of his stock. Bungie could have said, well, what do you need to feel good about this? We need to separate. This isn't going to work out anymore. Right. What'll make you happy? And said, okay, yeah, you have the license to play it at whatever, Video Games Live. It's fine. That's not going to impact Destiny sales. Instead, they said, no, you get nothing. And more than that, you get less than what we told you you could have. And they had to be pulled back by a legal document. So it's clear both sides were pretty angry at each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like quite the overextension. It's interesting that you mentioned the trusted parties, because, like, for example, is completely off topic, but it also isn't, is, you know, I remember when signing brand deals, like early on in my YouTube career, and sort of that relationship you develop with a company, and over time you stop reading the fine print more because you're like, all right, it's another contract with them, like three more brand deals for the next 3 months, this rate, yada, yada. Okay, cool, sign. And you don't think much about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this is a valuable lesson to those up and coming or those who may be
signing.
Read your fine print effectively.
Yeah, definitely read it. And if it's something, you know, really valuable, or if you think there's intellectual property changing hands and it's important to you, get a lawyer. It doesn't have to be me. And reasonable lawyers will, you know, look at something for you in an hour, not 10. So if you're talking about real money and real intellectual property, find somebody that you trust, because this can happen to you on a much smaller scale, probably. But it can happen to anybody, because those words on a page really do matter. And especially when we're talking about who owns what and what was created and how.
Right on.
Absolutely.
I have no more to add here, although this isn't my field of expertise. Do you gentlemen have anything else you would like to toss into the ring on this conversation?
No, I think we hit it. I mean, like I said, just very interesting, very interesting. It's a cautionary tale. It's also something, you know, to monitor in the future, like we're talking about, you know, contractually and things of that nature, you know, video game music, ownership rights, creatives, you know, it's very interesting. If you're getting into this field, you know, just learning about this stuff is fascinating to me. And obviously charting Hoag's analysis is always a pleasure, you know, getting that stuff. But yeah, man, this is near and dear. Destiny, music, games, and the legal battles that go behind the scenes with things that you're passionate about. It's very interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Video games are collaborative works, right? So anyone that you love probably has more than a few contractor arrangements that are bringing the intellectual property into the bucket to make that game. Yeah. Whether that's employees or contractors, that information has to all come together so that the company itself can make that game that hopefully you love.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I still think the most fascinating lawsuit was the one about Rune 2. I don't know if you tracked that one, Hoag, where they were saying that Bethesda intentionally sabotaged the game by, like, leaving a shell of a studio and then buying them out under a new name.
If it happened in the last 3 years, it's in virtual legality.
There you
I get
are,
that
yeah.
on a shirt. Yeah, no, I did a video on that. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, the thing of it is, on claims like that, you almost have a higher burden. Like, I read through that court case. I did the video on it, and it's like, well, if you're gonna claim outlandish things, it demands some real evidence.
Yeah.
And Bethesda has historically, certainly prior to its acquisition by Microsoft, taken some interesting approaches to intellectual property law. They famously sued over the word scrolls. They weren't perfect in this avenue. Video game lawsuits. I've tell this story a lot, but I had, when I started my channel, the notion, I wonder if I'm going to be able to keep up with Substance. I don't know whether I'm going to have enough videos to make about law and business of video games. And now I basically keep a list. And I'm like, well, those four are too old. That's like 14 entries long as I try to figure out what the heck I'm going to make next.
Well, I'm glad you're getting consistent work. That's good. Also shows our industry is waking up to it and they're making it headlines.
Yeah, I was going to say the industry might be better off if I was getting less work from some of the lawsuits and craziness. Certainly Activision would like to not be a member of the long form series society. It's been really interesting. I always am very appreciative of folks like you having me on, because what I like to do is hopefully help explain these headlines better, sometimes correct them a little bit. And get more information out there, because like everything that informs your love of video games or movies or television or anything else is at its foundation contractual relationships between peoples and companies and intellectual property and entities and things like that. And you can see those when you can see between the lines a little bit, you can start to see how people move, I think, a little bit better. And that's hopefully the idea. So I'm very appreciative of being invited on to talks like this. And thank you very much.
Always welcome. Always welcome. And we thank you for lending your knowledge more than anything. Cause like I said, you know, I think Cog held his own, but I think it's pretty apparent. Like, it's not like I'm going in here like an expert. I had a lot of questions, I think creates an interesting conversation. But without you, we couldn't have done this. So, you know, we just thank you for lending us your time and your knowledge.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Legendary Hoag Law. Virtual legality. Let's go.
Well, that's all I've got. for episode 34.
Which one? You said 34 at the top, 34. But I'm not counting for you.
Yeah, I was going to say. In my head, it was 33. Mm. And I was like, hold on. 34 of Defying Duke. Normally, I have the episode number in the title, and I'll look at the hyperlink at the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't do it this time. That's why. We appreciate everyone listening, though. Thank you all so much for tuning into this episode of Defying Duke Ultimate. As always, please check out Hoag Law over on YouTube, Virtual Legality. Fantastic series. It's what I watched before this conversation to have somewhat of a clue of what was happening.
Yes, yes, you have to. Otherwise,
it's so important. Really good watch, informative content. Please check them out again. Hoag, anything else that you want to plug before we conclude this?
No, other than the fact I just put up a video on Activision Blizzard now getting investigated by the SEC mm-hmm. and EEOC, which is maybe reported as a little bit more important than it is in some places, and maybe not as important as people really should be thinking about it in certain respects as well. So with that as kind of a clickbait kind of intro, I do talk about it pretty extensively today. So check that out.
Awesome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for lending us your time. And we'll catch you with the next Defining Duke and Defining Duke Ultimate. Peace out.
Thanks so much.
Defining Duke, an Xbox podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand LLC, and is recorded from the United States of America. The show is conceived by Matthew Mr. Matty Plays Schroeder and me, Colin Moriarty, and is written and produced by Matthew Schroeder. Matty's co-host is Barry Lord Cognito Eversley. Defining Duke's executive producer is Dustin Furman, and the show is edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand Media's shows, including Defining Duke, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer support level on Patreon, and we're thankful for your kindness and generosity. Andrew Morgan, Stephen Nieder, Ross Marenka, Miguel A. Brewer, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, Jerome Ferreira, SLDFMA, Jorge Palomino, Daniel D'Amore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Tom Quinn, Henry Groth, Joshua, Relentless Rex, Troy Miller, Meyer Katz, Jordan Mittman, J.A. Zhu, Tristan Palacios, Graham Plays, Christian Rodriguez, Jad Rita, Kurt M. Gillenberg, Patrick Skipper, Sweaty Mitt, Chris Kelly, Dustin Graff, Peyton Stone, Roberto, Josh Hallen Rui, Tyler Watkins, Troilus True, Dan Root, Isabella Hope, Top G82, Talisman, Christopher, Randall Halsey, Robbie Nauman, Nuke Dukem, Jim Bob, 56, William Holbert, Dr. Stump, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Daniel Johnson, H. Trons, Ethan Davies, Jay Getter, Manuel Ochoa, Bjorn Campbell, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Silvinsky, Galja of Fortuna, Boots, Tyler Brown, Megadeth, Poot, Gavin Newland, Saul Balcazar, Brian White, Raul Melendez, Keegs, Eric Harden, Alex Bolton, Kinnams, Joseph Baker, Rodney Coleman, Chris Moore, Caswell, Antti Kinnanen, Chris, Will Hernandez, Chris Galvin, Mason Cadillac, Ollie Fritz, Evan Dalton, Zach Allum, George Anthony Nunez, Kyle Hagel, Christopher, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Michael S., David Bostick, Stewie108, DB Cooper, Cody Bradbury, Tom Cargill, Richter86, Steve Hodge, Holfeldian, Ian Bravo, Barrett Boswell, Andrew Parker, Christopher DeVio, Chris Morton, Kevin Komaki, Mark Liberto, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coates, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Brian Chan, Jay, Organic Produce, Shane St. Pierre, Carlos Algarit, Richard Hebert III, Miranda Grubba, Josh Yeager, Martin Beck, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartland, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Brody Rainey, Jacob Bell, Dennis Usel, Eric Finkenbeiner, Lou and Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, Dylan Burns, Jason Lusky, Malachi Wall, Betty Ann Moriarty, John Schultz, David Chestnut, Anton K., Brian W. Rath, Alan Trembley, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Tony Zuniga, Sean Battershall, Robbie Hensley, Alex Cabrera, Lennon Brixey, James Kinsler III, Will Caldwell, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, William O'Carroll, Jesper Jansen, Phil Crone, Throw 7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, David Mann, Petro Rhodes, Lockmort, Gio Corsi, Joey Gondhaliker, Gerald Pennington, Justin Wagaman, David Iacolucci, Paul Joyce, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Shane Rayum, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Keith A. Lewis, Marius Garson Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Matthew Perdue, Patrick Carper, Mad Mock Media, Jonathan Rice, and Casual Misfits Gaming.